Welcome to episode 25 of Teaming Up. Today, John Newman welcomes a special guest, Kelly O'Keefe, CEO of Brand Federation, to talk about innovation. The two talk about macro and micro innovations in the workplace. Don't forget to subscribe to Teaming Up so that you never miss an episode. Now, take it away, John.
Welcome back to the Teaming Up podcast. I'm John Newman from the Hodges Partnership, and joining me today is Kelly O'Keefe of Brand Federation. Kelly is one of the premier branding experts, not only in the Richmond area, but in the country. Welcome.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks, Tom.
And the main reason we want to get together, we actually asked you to come and speak to our group, I guess it was a couple of months ago, about innovation and how to be innovative and how to be creative. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I guess it's hard for everybody, especially if they're not used to thinking that way, to sort of turn on that switch and say, we're going to be innovative today. But how do you, Yeah, exactly. In your experience, you know, when you talk to folks, whether it's your own organization or others, how do you turn on that innovative switch? What are the things that you recommend and suggest to folks, and how to do that?
Well, I think all great innovation comes from observation, understanding human behavior, understanding unmet needs and wants. So if you think of innovation, it's doing something new or differently. And that thing that you're doing differently or new, hopefully, is going to serve a need. It's going to be something that people want done. So the first thing you have to do is figure out, what do people want done? What is their state of mind? What are the insights that you can glean from their behavior? And how can you respond back with something? And it could be small or big, but something that responds to that behavior. So step one is paying attention. I think some of the examples that to me are amazing is I'm always a fan of the simple, delightful thing that they do at every DoubleTree hotel when you walk in, and they offer you a warm chocolate chip cookie. It's such a dumb thing. Like, it's a cookie. It doesn't cost very much money to give somebody a cookie. It's not an expensive part of the hotel experience. The pillows are more expensive. Shampoo's probably more expensive. But it's built on a human insight. When business travelers travel, and really when all travelers travel, but especially business travelers travel, you're away from home. You've been in meetings all day. Everybody thinks, oh, where are you? You're going somewhere fabulous. It must be awesome. No, it's not awesome, because you've spent your entire day in the conference room in a Marriott. You finally get back to that hotel. You're away from family. You're away from home. You're away from the things that you love. And you're feeling a little bit sorry for yourself. And you walk into this place and somebody says, would you like a warm chocolate chip cookie? And you're like, oh, God, yes. Yes. And like, I don't know anyone who would say no to that. And it really made a significant impact on that hotel. And I think we don't think about things like that as innovation, but great innovation sometimes comes in very small packages, but it's built on human insight.
Are there certain exercises that companies, people, and organizations can sort of do, whether it's on their own, whether it's just me sitting down alone, or in groups or with my folks, to, you know, tap into their innovation creativity gene?
Yeah, I think so. One is, it helps to have a clear head. So it's like writing. If you try too hard to write before you thought it through, you're just going to have writer's block. What you want to do is step back from the paper for a while and think. And I think thinking is the beginning of it. So small group, what they can do is, one, get away from your phone, get away from your desk, get away from the email, the Slack, whatever is bothering you, and take a moment out to talk about something. Get really clear on who you're innovating for. It just can't be abstract. You can't just say, I want to create innovation. It doesn't work that way. Even Newton needed an apple to fall from the tree. And think about people and try and think about their lives. Again, looking for what needs help. And if you're innovating within a business, think about what's making the business, what are the obstacles or points that are blocking the success of that business. Work on that. I think also the more you let the ideas flow freely, Don't censor yourself at first. People talk about using post-it notes or other things, and you want to use all of those things as often as possible. Putting ideas on the wall. Just keep them coming. Don't worry about censoring them. When you've gotten through a lot of ideas, then it's time to kill almost all of them. One or two ideas is all you want to end up with. Because the other challenge with innovation is we try to do too many things, and we miss getting something done really, really well.
In your experience, and you've worked at and run a lot of organizations, and I'm sure you've sort of overseen or brought in folks that run brainstormings for you.
Yes.
What are sort of like the do's and don'ts of a good brainstorming to sort of get those creative juices and innovative juices flowing?
Yeah, well, a lot of people do it in a lot of different ways. I'm not a big fan of the creativity expert comes in, makes you all sit on balls for some reason. Never quite figured that out. It's hard to get comfortable sitting on one of those things. And make you just interact and do weird team-building exercises and trust exercises. Innovation is serious to me. And so, yes, you want to get in a room, get away from your office, if at all possible. You want to go somewhere else. I love taking people to really open environments, places like in Richmond, we have Maymont, and they have a conference room. It's overlooking 100 acres of wilderness park and animals. Just get them out of their heads for a while. Plenty of coffee. Plenty of sugar, whatever form it comes in the morning. It might be muffins or pastries. In the afternoon, might be chocolate chip cookies. Sounds like I'm obsessed with those.
I was going to say, I mean, that's the second or third time you mentioned that.
A little bit obsessed with the chocolate chip cookie, I'm not going to lie. But and then get them comfortable and working on our ideas together. And again, we want to really avoid censoring, because what is interesting is sometimes that bad idea, that weird idea that somebody throws out that never is going to be executed, leads somebody else to an even better idea that is going to be the perfect idea. So we want to let those things flow as readily as possible. And I always am trying to get everybody in the game. It's natural in any organization to have hierarchies, whether we try and acknowledge them or not. And the best ideas genuinely do come from anybody in the room. So making people who aren't used to speaking up in a meeting comfortable speaking up, even calling on them. What do you think, Cheryl? I'd like to hear from you. We haven't heard from you today. Do you have any thoughts about this? Really giving people openings to talk will help that progress.
So you mentioned DoubleTree Hotel. Are there other examples of either innovative companies that you like to talk about and give examples about, or companies that have done other things that are truly innovative in your mind that are great examples of innovation, let's say in the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, absolutely. This goes to innovation coming in all forms. For example, we often think of product innovation when we think of innovation, making something that hasn't been made before. That's a type of innovation. But most innovation is either iterative or it can be things like process innovation. An example of great process innovation is Amazon's one-click ordering. What they did was they looked at a process, the process to purchase an item that you want to purchase on Amazon, and they looked at how many steps it took you to actually execute that. Now, I already want the product. Now it's getting into how do I get it? And it used to be that, you know, filling out the shopping cart information and getting your credit card information and everything, those were big obstacles. Maybe you weren't even in the same room with your wallet, which has a credit card. By the time you got it all done, you didn't want the product anymore. So Amazon wisely looked at human behavior. This is where all innovation starts. And they said, look at these people getting frustrated, abandoning their shopping cart. What can we do to engineer around that? And they engineered a process that, in the end, allowed you to buy the thing you wanted with a single click. That's brilliant innovation, doesn't always get credit. I think iterative innovation is also something impressive. It's evident everywhere. You know, you go buy a package of Oreos, and they're self-sealing. What made that happen? Well, one, somebody had to notice the way that people were opening their bags of Oreos, like ripping it open and it splits all the way down, which isn't bad because it means you kind of have to eat them all now.
Again, cookies, right?
Yeah. Maybe I'm hungry, John. Maybe I'm a little hungry. But, you know, you go in the, then you go and you see if you have a Ziploc bag big enough to shove the Oreos into. It's a mess. Somebody paid attention to that at Nabisco. And they said, what if we just reseal that package and make it easier to seal? That innovation led to a significant increase in sales for Oreos. And most people don't even recognize those things as innovation. So iterative innovation is great. It's, you know, we used to have, it's hard to believe, we used to have phones that didn't have cameras on them.
many years ago, right?
Those were two different things.
Exactly.
Right? We had a camera and we had a phone. Who does that anymore? So it's taking something and looking at how we can engineer it to be better. And I think those are some of my favorite innovations. They come in all walks of life, in every kind of company. And that's why everyone can genuinely be an innovator. Look at the things you do every day around your own office, around your desk. Ask where the points of frustration are. And then think about how could we eliminate this simple point of frustration?
So I work in a company that either I have a boss who's my internal client, or I work for an organization and I have clients, and we have that brainstorming and we come up with three or four ideas that we think are innovative. What are the best ways to present those ideas to make sure that they get their proper airing to the people that are ultimately the decision makers?
This is such a great question. I think people think the innovation is done when you have the idea. And let me tell you something. Ideas are so common out there, and sadly, so infrequently executed, even when they're brilliant ideas. You are not done with the innovation until somebody approves it, funds it, and gets going. And that's where a lot of the magic starts is I've talked to people who said, yeah, I could never do innovation in my company. I took an idea to the boss a few weeks ago, and they just said no. And I said, all right, well, tell me, how did you take it to the boss? Well, I just went in, and I said, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be doing this. And I thought, okay, great. So now you've taken your boss, who already has way too many things on their to-do list. They're barely getting by. And you just chuck something at him and say, you ought to do this thing, bud. And he's like, yeah, thanks. I don't need another idea of something to do. And in fact, when you do that, you're killing your own idea because you're not nurturing it. You're not giving it a chance to live. To get that idea through, what you have to do is ask some questions. One, what would it actually take to implement this? What resources in terms of people and skills, and what resources in terms of dollars? How long would it take to implement this? Can we do it? Is it a quick win, or will it take us a while? Either one could be good. You know, if it's a really big idea, maybe taking a while is okay. If it's a quick win, even better. But how long will it take? And then who can get it done? What is the next step in the process to get it done? And if you put those things together, then answer the question, if we get it done, what advantages can we expect it to provide to us? What's the payoff that makes it worth those resources that we just talked about? So if you go in with that same idea to your boss and you say, I've got an idea, and let me explain to you why this idea is going to help our business. We have quantified what we think the impact could be. And we've also talked to some customers who said, yes, I would like that. Great. Now you've got some evidence there. Then the boss is going to say, well, that sounds great, but how long is it going to take to get it done? I'm glad you asked that. We think it's going to take 9 months. I've talked to the folks in IT. I've talked to the CFO and got rough costing on the resources it's going to need. We need to dedicate two people to it for 9 months, and we ought to have a prototype ready for testing. If you go in with that level of detail, then all the boss has to do is say, yes. They don't have to do anything. You haven't given them a burden. You've given them something that's well mapped out. And if you do that, you're going to sell a lot more of your ideas.
So one final question. When you presented to us, you went through some exercises that you take organizations through. And there was one in particular I thought was really interesting, where you basically ask the organization to make believe that the organization doesn't exist, and you, this group that's together, come up with a new way, and it's an exercise to do either what you're already doing or what you want to do in the future. Can you describe that process a little bit?
Absolutely. I absolutely love that too. And as a matter of fact, we at Brand Federation use it every time we do strategic planning. It's often referred to as a red team exercise. And it's really the thought is, what would it take to put us, our own business, out of business? So you can take a group of people and you can say, all right, let's imagine we all left Hodges Partnership and we started a new company to do the same things that Hodges does, but to do it better than Hodges ever did it. And let's assume we had the resources to get that done. What would we do differently? And the ideas flow. And here's why they flow. Because I'm no longer thinking, well, I can't do that because this guy's going to prevent me from doing that, or we don't have this talent. You've eliminated the restrictions that usually get in the way of thinking through business. And in fact, I once did this with a group of board members of a large furniture company based in Birmingham that I was also on the board of at the time. I went in, they were struggling with innovation. And I went in and I said, well, guys, they asked me to facilitate a session. And I said, I've got kind of bad news to start this meeting with. I have become privy to a new competitor in this category that is about to launch. And they're well-funded by one of the biggest furniture companies to do this. And I'm afraid they're going to eat our lunch. I've looked over the plans. They're very ambitious, and they're doing everything right. I'll tell you who it is, and I'll tell you more about it. But before I do, I'd love to just go around the room, and I'd like to hear everyone, what do you think these guys are doing that is going to take us out of commission? And we went around the room, and these guys said, well, they could do this or that. In this case of office furniture, is notoriously slow, 6 weeks, 12 weeks to get delivery. And one of the guys said, well, I'll bet they have 30-day delivery. I bet they figured out how they can do 30-day delivery because everybody wants to get their stuff right away. And there were similar ideas all the way around the table. It was a lie. And I admitted that it was a lie. We looked at those ideas and we said, now, of these ideas, how many of these could we actually do? And the truth is, like 60% of them, they could do right away. And the big one was that they could do 30-day delivery if they reorganized their warehouses a little bit, reworked their logistics a little bit. They could commit to, for a certain line of furniture, 30-day delivery, which nobody else in the country was doing at the time. And they did it, and it changed the business. So I think that red team exercise, clearing your head, imagining another company, I often name the company just to make it feel more tangible. We did this with the American Institute of Architects, and we created this alternative group called Design United. And we said this is a group of young people who've broken away from the AIA, and they're creating an organization that's much more committed to the way that younger people in this field want to be part of an organization today. And I want you to define, what are the attributes of this Design United? Now, they knew it was a fake thing, but they created brilliant ideas, like, for the first time ever, sharing their knowledge with everybody, whether member or not, for the first time ever in their history, inviting non-architects in other analogous design fields to join industrial design, graphic design, etc. And they have put those things now into their strategic plan. In fact, they got so excited that one team raised their hand, and after reporting out their ideas, they said, why don't we just create Design United and dump the AI? And I'm like, wait, hold on.
Don't be that interview. Right?
You're going to get me fired here. That's not what we're trying to do. But it frees them up.
Kelly, thanks so much for joining us on Teaming Up. This has been great. And, I hope folks are able to take, steal an idea or two, or call you guys and tap into your brains. We've done that before, and it's been a great experience for us as well.
Well, thank you. Don't be afraid to try this at home. Anybody can innovate. Just get in touch with people and what their lives are like, what their needs are. Come up with some ideas in a loose environment, narrow down to one really great one, and then get it done.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to the Teaming Up podcast. Teaming Up is brought to you by the Hodges Partnership, a strategic communications agency that specializes in storytelling through public relations, media relations, content marketing, and social media. The Teaming Up podcast is a Happy Committee production. Episodes are released monthly. Subscribe on your favorite podcast service so you never miss an episode.